The title of my sermonette today, actually I've changed it a little bit. It's Managing Adversity with Hope. And we'll just go forth and get into it. Adversity is a dynamic that is common to most of us. I'd say all of us. For some of us, there may be health-related challenges that pop up, but it can also be simply everyday life at school, work, at home. My wife, Shelley, always advises me to write and speak on subjects that I have experience on, and that is wise advice indeed, and it's helped me and served me well in time. When I began my job as city manager of Boulder, this was back in the early 2000s, I was responsible for over 2,000 employees, and I took the job understanding that we were facing a $15 million budget deficit. The city's economy had diminished. It was more of a very localized thing, so the world wasn't feeling this. But it was close to 10% of our total city budget that we were needed to cut, and that's not fun. And it was probably more like a 15% reduction because there the funds that were just dedicated to specific things that you couldn't use the money for other things. So the only way to deal with such a crisis in a city or a company or an organization of any kind was to make cuts. And that's just the beginning. Of course, you can raise revenues, but that takes some time to do that. So budget reductions and the elimination of some key positions, which are very difficult to do. And the way I'm presenting this might appear that I approached this in a very clear and logical manner with my staff. And the truth is, I was terrified. It was the first time that I was a city manager, and I really had not had that particular experience before. I took the position understanding the challenge, though. I knew what I was coming into, so couldn't feel too bad for myself. But I realized also in the back of my mind that I could be quickly written off as a loser who did not manage the crisis very well if we didn't make progress. And similarly, in my current position as the CEO of a nonprofit transit and paratransit provider, paratransit is buses that have lifts for people with wheelchairs and other devices. And we have nearly 300 employees now. And we've had 5 years of very difficult times, decreasing revenue, increasing competition, difficulty having people come to work or stay at work, stay with the company. And we lost a huge contract in the middle of last summer, which covered a lot of overhead. And overhead is like me. And some of my colleagues. So that was very difficult to deal with. But we're not here for a lesson in management or crisis management. But the point that I'm making is that whether you consider these challenges as troubles or misfortune, and that's really where the dictionary takes it, as it refers to adversity, there can be a pathway through it. The common element in terms of how we deal with this sort of situation, we certainly know we need to rely on God. But as we're dealing with our colleagues and those that work for us, we have to approach it with timely openness and hope. We need to provide hope. One might argue that the ultimate openness or honesty that I would have been able to share with my staff back in the city days or even in my current situation was to provide clarity that, well, the city might, cities don't typically fail, but they could go into receivership and have other very complicated problems, or that my current company would fail and we'd have to disband. You can imagine what kind of message that would be for my staff to hear. Now, I'm not suggesting that we would not be honest with that, with them in any way. And I did to a degree, but I added an ingredient that was not a strategy. It was not a technique. It's a deeply held belief, hope for the future, short and longer term. I began to have face-to-face meetings with some of my team members, with our employees, all of them, week after week, day after day in some cases. I would share financial information and the challenges that we're facing, but I would also describe the hope in terms of actions that we're taking to stabilize and begin to grow, to begin to climb out. And that's all we can do, is do what God gives us the strength and the talents to do, is to apply that and do the best we can. Instead of fleeing in panic, most employees made a conscious choice to remain and join the work embodied in the hope. Now, again, imagine if I did not have the belief and hope and the reliance on God. Well, then I think I would have been presiding over, in essence, a corporate death watch, and employees would have left to pursue a safer organization, other opportunities where they weren't hearing that day after day. Let's turn to scripture here. I'm gonna turn to scripture. I'm gonna read this for us all. Consider Jeremiah, and we're gonna look at verses 5 through 12. Jeremiah 29 and verses 5 through 12. And this is very powerful. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. This is in verse 10. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Think of the power of that message. God's people were in a very tough place. They could have gone into panic. They could have gone into negativity. But instead, God was saying, rely on me and live your life that I've given you. Prosper. Pray for the prosperity of your community. And that's what God is giving us, that strength, that inherent strength to persevere. And that's vital that we get that opportunity to do that. And you can see the link back to what I feel was my responsibility with my employees in my company, to apply every possible pathway of good to try to improve the company and improve our situation. We see in Jeremiah that God is sharing difficult news, but he's also sharing hope and promise for his people. He tells them to be productive and not be mired in negativity and fear. God implores his people to pray for the success of their new city, as this would translate to their own successes. He also restates his promise to his people that he made many, many years before to their ancestors, to bring his people to ultimately to bring them home. Now, in Proverbs 13 and verse 12, we see what can happen without hope. And I encourage you to read the whole chapter for really depth and clarity, and it's very moving. But as we consider verse 12, we see hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Think about that scripture. Losing hope, or perhaps feeling as though you cannot grasp in your own situation, can indeed make you feel heartsick, lost. You might even possibly become physically ill in time if that's all you're thinking about and dealing with, and you're not finding the hope and the positivity. God was clear in Jeremiah that we're to use all that he has provided us with to flourish and not be mired in the negativity. It can pound us into the ground if we are hyperfixated on that and we're not thinking about what we can do, how we can apply the strengths and the talents God has given us. Now, at the same time, we cannot turn our back on prophecy in any way. We're counseled and advised never to do that. It's real. What is happening in the world is real. We know that. But so is the wonder of the natural world that God has created, the universe, that we look up at the stars and the moon, the music we all enjoy, the hymns we just got done singing in honor to God and in celebration to God. All these things God has given us to develop, despite the fact of where the world is right now. The world has gone through cycles of negativity and horrible, horrible immorality. And yes, we're in that cycle again. And we know that the only way out is through God's mercy and God's and the return of Jesus Christ. I look forward to the day when my next boss is Jesus Christ in the work that we have to do. When we have challenges, we have God's expectation that we embrace the trials. Not always easy to do, we know that. And whether it's at school, at work, health, or family matters, God wants to build our capacity for strength and character. And we see this very clearly as we consider Romans 5 and verses 3 to 5. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, and I'll read. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us, our helper. This is difficult now, I understand, in the moment of our trials. But as we gain experience and we gain wisdom, we also can build hope and gain that hope that we will have successes through God. There will be pain, there's no doubt. We're certainly not promised a lifetime without pain or without suffering. We can look at Job, we can look at any number of our forebears in the Bible, and we can see that. But if we focus on that gloom, we will only see the gloom. If we focus on the hope of Jesus Christ, that's where our future lies. The ultimate hope is, of course, in Jesus Christ and his plan for our salvation and his kingdom. In addition, we can find hope in the blessings that we receive. And think back to Jeremiah, where we began our study today. God offered hope regardless of the life that his people faced in Babylon. We too can have that hope each day. And I'd like to end with scripture once again. We're going to end with Proverbs 24, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14. My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off.